Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Art and Labor, the podcast for art workers and our particular precarities and struggles. I'm OK Fox.
And I'm Lucia Love. And we're bummed out.
I'm extremely sad today.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll pick up later in the episode, but...
Well, so we were just talking off mic a little bit about... there's this argument that I keep coming up against. That I talk to friends and everybody is trying to navigate the situations that are constantly bombarding us. And I keep hearing people go like, hey, man, you know, there's nothing to really get freaked out about. You know, like, fascism existed in the past and, like, you know, there's always been violence. So, like, what's up? It's okay. Like, just don't freak out, you know? Just, like, it's always going to be there.
Yeah, it's very, like, nothing matters, nihilism or something.
Well, it's, like, not nihilism, though. It's kind of this, like, there's still a can-do.
Have you seen the
thing?
Meme of, like, the, like, Gen Xer nihilism, and it's, like, oh. Head in hands, and then millennial nihilism, and it's, like, nothing matters. Cool,
yeah.
Snapping skateboarder.
Yeah, kickflip.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like, well, I think it's also, there should be one that's like a mother who's about to lose her mind and she's like crying and laughing at the same time and she's like, no, it's okay. I mean, this has happened before. It's just happening again.
Spot on.
Everything's gonna be okay. Like, I just go to work. I'm just doing my job.
I go to work. I water my plants.
I love my family so much.
Bring in donuts for the office.
Please come to my wedding. It's going to be beautiful. Okay. We're not going to talk about politics.
We're not going to talk about politics this Thanksgiving, okay? And this Christmas, instead of giving gifts, we're each going to give $200 to our favorite charity, all right?
Oh, my God. Ooh, you just killed me. Yeah, totally. Totally. It's just like, no, people, listen. Okay, we're upset because it's still going on. We're not upset like it's a brand new thing. We're upset because it hasn't stopped yet. We need to stop.
Oh,
we need to stop capitalism. We need to stop fascism. We need to stop racism.
It's just a total lack of imagination to be like, oh, it's happened before, so it's just going to continue to exist forever. It's just, it's like when you prod like a liberal about racism and it's like, well, what's your solution to end racism? And they're just like, I don't know.
I'm just not going to be, listen, I'm just like, look, we can make it really nice, like in our house. And I'm just going to be like, yeah, sure. Have, you know, just like have a rest before you go back out there. Like things are bad, but here's a latte.
If you ask a liberal about what their solution for the, for like ending mass worldwide poverty, they're just like, oh, well, war has always happened, so we're just going to continue to have war forever.
Oh,
and it's just every society has always had war, so it's like, it's just, that's just the way it has to be, so people are always going to suffer. So it's like,
look, if we actually like redistributed, if we redistributed our resources, like that would mean that people who had a bunch of things would have less, and you don't want that, you know.
I worked hard for my private property and I deserve it.
Yeah, my great-great-grandparents killed so many people and now I'm
there
good.
They were veterans and they worked hard. Fuck you. God, it's like so originally we were going to do this episode about Ursula K. Le Guin.
But too many terrible things happened.
But it does remind me, because we saw the new documentary about her. It's really good.
Yeah. Oh, we cried.
Cried multiple times.
It's so beautiful. She's so beautiful and so inspiring. And it's just, listen, people, watch it and then feel like you can do anything regardless of your surroundings.
And she's so humble is like a key thing. And like... we brought her up in our Fuck Paglia episode, but it's she is such a good foil to Paglia because she's like similar generation, but like just her approach to things is so different. It's very like I got really into this like community of like writers and trying to lift each other up in like a weird space mm-hmm. that was dominated by men. And I learned a lot from that criticism of like my peers, like to adjust, even like she's, cause the movie talks about how Left Hand of Darkness is like, it's a really cool book about like, gender nonconformity, androgyny, yeah. weird stuff.
It's like radical for the time.
But it's all he pronouns. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, and people were like, why are you forcing me to think yeah. of the default as a man? I'm like, oh, actually, good point.
Yeah.
Good point. You're
yeah, and
right.
She just her approach to like criticism, like multiple times through the movie, her she was so thoughtful mm-hmm. and considerate of like positions her family took and positions that she took, and just being like, you know, I was wrong sometimes.
Yeah.
Like,
and that she shared her work with everyone, that she wasn't like one of those people who works in secrecy and is like afraid of people stealing her ideas or something. She's just like, hey guys, what do you think about this one? And just sends it to everyone. And then she gets back a host of different responses. And some people were like, yeah, honestly, I wasn't impressed. Or like there was all of these accounts of people just going like, well, you know, she could make a good character. That was neat to me.
Like she's just such a nuanced person, and like the even the way she's talking about her father, who was like an anthropologist, and how oh, that's yeah. like that was really good for her to grow up, like
that made so much sense that
around, but also yeah. that it's a troubled relationship that he had with like indigenous people as well.
Yeah, like looking back at her characters, and just thinking about like the dispossessed, and yeah. and just the, like. Oh, this is centered around someone who is like navigating their world through the lens of scientific inquiry, and like realizing that that's actually like an alienating position to take, and then like dealing though with the emotions of that, being isolated and having this sort of like special man arc to that has been like foisted upon you because of people's interest in like capitalizing off of the possibilities of your mind.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, wow. Yeah. I can see the way that she's like watching her family members have to go through these experiences and then like working out
yeah.
everything.
Yeah. I mean, like, I was really like the one thing I didn't really agree with about in the movie was they were talking about her early novels.
Oh, yeah.
And how she was kind of like conforming to like
I don't know. Have you read City of Illusion though?
I haven't read City of Illusion.
Yeah, that one. It just I was like, oh, gross. This is Luke Skywalker.
Yes, but I like went into. I read her first published novel. I'm trying to remember what it's called. I'm looking it up. What is it? Something of. I was really struck by her first novel main character, who was like kind of this like tropey like scientist guy, but it had a firm like anti-colonial nature to it.
Oh,
that
sure.
I think was very different.
Yeah, there are elements of like
it's like something is there, and I just wish yeah. that somebody pointed it out.
You know, one thing that I appreciate about this documentary, I was thinking, like, this is one of the joys of like, documenting recent history, is that we got to see all of these, like, photographs and these videos of her contemporaries. So when you hear people say, like, oh, well, here's the way that the industry was dominated by a very specific voice in realism. And then it's like you see all these photographs of people who are inspired by Hemingway, and you're like, wow, all of these guys look like the same guy. And all of these God. Guys are like reinforcing their own reality. And then you see Ursula K. Le Guin just like, she's just this like little kind of like,
what was her quote about him?
So good. Yeah, Hemingway is like unjust and like a shit writer or something.
Just, yeah, like the praise, like she, oh my god.
Yeah, she just, I don't know, she did such a good job of like tearing people new assholes and but in like such a polite way that you're like, oh, she's right.
I've been trying to find the name of that book. I know it's like Rocannon something, but oh. I can't remember. I just remembered the Rocannon part, but
yeah,
it's on it, like there's something in the fabric of her work that's like just very different from everybody else. Like even if she was falling into a lot of the same tropes early on,
mm-hmm.
it's there.
Like, well, then they kind of go over that too in a roundabout way, saying like this is the way that sci-fi narratives are populated, and there wasn't a way to connect with an audience outside of the format of saying like, well, I'm building off of space exploration, or I'm building off of these like pioneer narratives.
Yeah.
Except for like, how can I infuse them in these specific ways to take it more into a realm where there's a fluid deconstruction of gender.
Yeah. 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 And also, like, it's like her dad was also like an anthropologist, not like a scientist, and so right. It's like she kind of did that scientist trope, but like her characters were more like observer type, like
mm-hmm.
Not like conquering, like
yeah type. I loved that good. About language, just like how does a scientist create the shorthand for the world around them, and like how do you use this to like pilot yourself through a universe. And like she just spent this time talking about the maps that she would make and realizing like,
oh, man.
All of this is about like spatial understanding, and once you name the thing and create the thing, it exists, and then you can start talking about it and like
how that's the root of magic, and that she's just like weaving magic, like,
yeah, but the magic is real too. I'm like, yes, thank you. Oh, thank you for
she
saying
so
it
much.
Thank you, I believe that as well.
Yeah, and I was very struck by the part about those who walk away. They like talk to high school kids about the short story. And that's like kind of what we're talking about in the beginning, where like, because there was like a kid, like a little liberal kid who was just like, well, you know, I would probably walk away from the child, but I'll just, you know, make my own family, like, you know, live as nice a life, like as humble or like good a life as possible or whatever. And
right.
Maybe that'll just
I'll
be
turn my
enough.
Back on the city.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Like, it's very... It's like that story, like living in New York City, it just feels like we're living that story every day.
Oh, absolutely.
Like when you walk down the street or when you see people on the subway, you just are living that story every day.
Yeah. It's weird. It reminded me of something that like a professor said, and I'm always like remembering things from college now.
Yeah,
because I'm getting old or something. It was like, well, I remember when I was in school, somebody said, you know, keep your head up, kid. Keep that wide-eyed wonder. It was something about, like, we were having this conversation about the callousness that people develop in cities because of the massive volume of fucked up things that you're able to come across, like unknowingly. You don't know when it's going to happen, so there is something about like the piercing nature of seeing somebody homeless when you're just like, oh, I'm trying to go to my job, and what do I do, and like how do I take care of everyone, and like what's the best way. And some people will go through that period and think, like, as it was mentioned in like the Le Guin documentary, some kids will just be like, hey, I'm not able to deal with this in my framework of reality, so I'm going to just walk to work and forget it and know that this system is going to continue ad infinitum. Or like some people just say like, no, I, you know, I'm going to run into traffic and save that kid.
Oh, man. And, you know, I guess finally this will be a good tie to our next topic, was her famous book award speech.
Oh, I love
it. The big part of the movie. And when that happened, I was just in the theater. I was just like, shit, this is my favorite song, everyone.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
There were lots of whoops.
Yeah.
People were like, you. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You rule.
It's like, it was like, when that speech came out, it was like so incredibly inspiring. And like, I was just so glad to see it was a big part of the movie. Along with like mentioning her, like, you know, the dispossessed, like we glossed over that. They mentioned that the dispossessed and her relationship to anarchism. They didn't mention Bookchin, but she loves Bookchin. And we'll have to do an episode where we read him.
Oh, totally.
But along with that, they also have a huge part about her National Book Award speech that nobody was expecting. Everybody was underestimating. Like,
and she was kind of like, oh yeah, that's right. You didn't think you were gonna get it from a little old lady, did ya?
She's just like, fuck. Like in this room full of people who taking checks from Amazon, being like,
fucking Amazon.
I know.
Oh, everything.
The rest of the episode's going to be about
just
Amazon.
Such a mesh. It's such a tight mesh right now.
Oh my God.
The powers of evil and the shafts of light busting through.
Ursula's parting words to us was warning us about this danger, this fucking evil. And like her quote that gets passed around in lefty circles
I love it.
A lot was from this speech when she was at the end of her life.
What's it all boil down to?
The profit motive often is in conflict with the aims of art. We live in capitalism. Its power seems inescapable. So did the divine right of kings. Any human power can be resisted and changed by human beings. Resistance and change often begin in art, and very often in our art, the art of words. I have had a long career and a good one in good company. Now here at the end of it, I really don't want to watch American literature get sold down the river. The river. Yeah. Newton Creek. Amazon River.
poison!
We who live by writing and publishing want and should demand our fair share of the proceeds. But the name of our beautiful reward is not profit. Its name is freedom.
I'm going to cry again.
For a free and revolutionary art, people. Fuck. Fuck Amazon, man.
Yeah, so I'm sure, you know, everybody's freaking out now. We got a nice big old smack in the face confirmation that Amazon wants to move its headquarters into Long Island City and...
Which, make no mistake, the politicians, every politician, all the Democrats, not just the IDC,
they're just like giving tax breaks to make this thing happen, and all anybody really cares about is consolidation of power at this point. Nobody is interested in the longevity or the health of the city, and it's a miserable state that we're in, and after these midterm elections too, I mean, Jesus Christ, like nobody cares. Everyone's forced to vote for shit that's just gonna...
Voting is for wealthy property owners.
Yeah.
Like, it's how it goes. I worked the polls this election. That's who it's for. The people working who vote are being tricked by the Democrats, or the Republicans sometimes. But, like, mostly you'd see, like, working people really excited to vote for Cuomo, just, like, brainwashed.
Yeah.
Brainwashed by this fucker. Like, he's not a friend of the working people. He's a scumbag, and he should be thrown into the highly polluted Newtown Creek that he wants to name after Amazon.
Oh, God. Well, you said it.
Throw this fucker in the trash. He's such a scumbag.
Or, you know, throw that guy in the trash, or, like, get everybody's votes out of the trash.
I mean,
one or the other. I mean, get, you know, let's, like, I wonder, that's where my imagination fails, is, like, if we do give up on democracy, I don't actually know, like, what a better system would be than, like,
We're not giving up on democracy. We're giving up on, like,
we're giving up on Cuomo, but that was long.
Liberal democracy versus direct democracy. Two different things. Like, and I think what, you know, and a lot of leftists have contend with electoralism, and it's just like, electoralism needs to take a fucking seat. Like, it's such a waste of resources.
Hang it up. Fucking electoral college. Take a break.
Get out of here. I'm just like, I don't know. This shit just makes me so mad. I don't even know where to start.
Okay, well, we're going to just pull up.
I should have spat on Bill fucking de Blasio's face when I had the chance. We were right there.
Well, it was scary, though. There were all of these people with, like, little headphone things in. They all looked like they were in the Matrix, wearing their suits and everything. And then you just mentioned, like, one question that was completely pertinent and non-offensive to anyone. And they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. You are standing in the wrong area. You're not allowed to make a sound in the area that you're standing in, cattle.
He's not taking questions from plebs right now.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, honestly, then, I mean, they probably would have shot at you if you spit. Like, yeah. I mean, it wasn't the right place. But you...
I say that as someone who's looked down a gun from the fucking NYPD. So, like, I'm like, I'm not coming at this as just, like, a fucking, like, pithy... I don't know what I'm talking about. Shit, like I've dealt with the fucking NYPD.
Okay,
like,
I mean,
in
whatever.
Fucked up ways before.
Everybody gets mad and says they're gonna do stuff, but everybody is also really scared because our police force does shoot people and they don't care about
us. I was talking to friends from Canada because Comics Arts Brooklyn was this weekend and that was like a whole thing.
Oh yeah,
Canadians came to town, and my Canadian friends are like, things are really bad, whatever, not sure what to do. I feel like we're not as radical as you guys, but it's like, we're not really that radical down here. And what we need to do, especially those in Canada need to do, is, take tips from Germany.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. Germany, like...
Listen, I love them. I mean, they're not perfect by any means, but, you know, they got a lot of things figured out.
It's like, my Canadian friends were like, you know, our cops kind of have guns too, but, like, there were, like, four or five cops were at Comics Art Brooklyn, and they were like, that wouldn't happen in Canada.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you see, like, they're like, I feel like you see cops, like, on every other corner. That's not I guess that's, like, Canada's not as many cops, but they are armed. And I do believe that our shitty militarized police, we know our militarized police train police in Brazil, for example. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're, like, you know, giving the fucking NYPD millions of dollars to just do a fucking world tour of all the fucking police forces in the fucking world and are training them to be fascist thugs. Like, so I guess, like, I get why Canadian people are scared, but, like, I think you guys should be taking tips from Germany, not us. And really just fighting them in the streets.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the one thing that I felt really connected to the experience of, like, going to Berlin after... I kind of just wanted to follow this story from an anarchist library that is in Kreuzberg that does a lot of organizing and a lot of like community activity.
So for those who might not have heard it, we did like a little like dispatch episode when Lucia came back from a really cool trip to Berlin.
Yeah, sorry, guys. I had a cool time. No offense.
Sounded lovely. No, it's there's no... We all have cool times sometimes.
I know. I just get... I'm there's like, nothing. I'm sorry. I don't want to offend anyone. I had a cool time in Berlin. yeah, but it was... Jesus Christ. We just keep getting smacked with everything because that dispatch that we had was actually from Varick Street. We were at a protest with the anarchists here in New York trying to encircle the immigration court on Varick. And that was just such a rough time to see, like, you know, people driving by and saying, like, oh, I hate illegals. And like, oh okay. We'll pass that along for you, I guess. Like, any more tips? I don't know. But going from one set of anarchists to another, there was like a really stark difference to notice the ways people organize in Berlin, because they have still a handle on real estate there. Mm-hmm. And like their locations are dwindling, but you get these really great communal housing places with like courtyards, and everybody runs them cooperatively, and there's like thriving communities with families and children, and you know, they have their friends playing music and they have a barbecue and it's beautiful. And that is like a hard won victory, because people are like, they like will riot for this, you know.
Yeah,
they'll just be like, oh no, It's time to protest. It's time to get in the street. It's time to like throw a brick or a Molotov cocktail or like freak out, because they want to destroy our lives. So when Google was trying to move into this building in Kreuzberg, they were sending all of these like liaisons from the company to small businesses to try to get
like boost their analytics and their spot.
Yeah, just trying to do whatever the internet can do to help you, which in that area isn't much, because people are still using like physical money and stuff. You know what I mean? They're like, oh no, you can't swipe a card here. You just have to show up and become interested in a thing that's in this space, and then maybe buy it and take it home with you and enjoy it. Like they're still on some kind of a human level. I don't know, that we've seemed to like.
Yeah, there's something really beautiful about like having a spot where you're just like maintaining the spot. You're not trying to fucking expand
right
into a million fucking spots. Like it drives right. me up the fucking wall. These because my friend worked at it was telling me about how he works at like this like popular fancy vegan restaurant that is like expanding into another city, and like.
Jesus.
Like, cool, you're all about the ethical treatment of animals. Meanwhile, you cannot give your workers healthcare. Like, that is disgusting to me. That is, like, such trash. These, like, organic coffee shops, sustainable, green things that, like...
It's sociopathic.
They're sociopaths.
It's just, it's like, I love leaves and I love kittens and I think people should suffer. Like, that's insane.
And I think my workers
are... they don't deserve more than this.
Yeah, don't deserve anything more than... I'm already being so generous just by...
Yeah, but look, I have a puppy.
And my dog is, like, lives in a fucking castle. My dog has their own room in my apartment.
Wow.
Meanwhile, good. My workers are doubling up in their three bedrooms in order to be able to stay in the city they grew up in or, like,
you just have to have a good idea like me and become a capitalist. That's all. Get a dog.
And meanwhile, P.S., we're building another coffee shop.
Mm.
That's, like... What really pisses me off is, like, we're expanding. Like, that's bullshit. pay your workers more. Pay for their fucking healthcare. Yeah. How can galleries be... We're opening a new location in XY City.
I have no idea.
What the fuck is wrong with these people?
I have no idea what's wrong with them. But in contrast, there are some communities that are taking care of each other slightly better. And I don't want to romanticize it because at the end of the day, I was visiting. Yeah. So, you know, easy to say from the outside that things look better. But what everyone was doing there.
I mean, how many people were going from one anarchist collective in one city to a different anarchist collective in another city? This is a good perspective.
Yeah. Like, and then, and what the anarchists are doing over there is like a lot more forceful. And I just think, like, if we are going to head off Amazon, we need to take a page from these people because they effectively made sure that Google did not build a campus in
guys, they won.
Area.
They won.
The anarchists won there. They're awesome people. They got the inside track. And you know what you got to do? You just fight every day. You just like every day, just, oh, hey, there it is. Hey, I'm just going to cover everything with like spray paint and I'm going to yell and I'm going to throw shit. And I'm just like, no, if you think that business is just going to go on, you're an idiot.
You're a fucking idiot.
You can't hire any of us to like take care of this organization. You can't expect like the infrastructure to remain intact. We're going to flip all the police cars and set them on fire and freak the fuck out if you like. You can't. You just are not allowed to do this in our city.
That is the level we need to get at. Because that is what wins.
Yeah. And like to everybody who thinks like, oh, whatever, man, it's just cities always changing and like things have been bad before and let it, no, fuck off. If you need to understand, like what could happen to our homes, Ben Davis just wrote a really cool article, about this situation, and it's, you know, catered specifically towards like the Create NYC initiatives that our governor was just like trying to put out there to pretend that he's taking care of the fastest growing sector of our economy.
And
he
mentions like, the fucking Rube Richard Florida, who we've talked about on this podcast before.
Fucker.
Fucking and, Rube.
But thank you to Florida because he even said
even
that he was
retracted
wrong. He was wrong.
Yeah. But it's too fucking late, idiot. Like, mm-hmm. They're all just taking it and running with it.
Yeah.
That's what liberals do. They find one bullshit ideology and they just fucking run with it forever. And it's just like... Like, and they'll just pick, like, a couple of, like, scientists or, like, really batshit dumbass studies to back up their worldview and refuse. Like, the fuck the YIMBYs, man.
Yeah.
The YIMBYs are such fucking idiots. They're, like, Long Island City has so many empty fucking apartment units in it.
Yeah.
So many. And they think that, like, Amazon's gonna fill those units. Amazon doesn't pay their workers shit. The amount of Amazon jobs that could afford these expensive ass empty apartments
is none. No, those apartments are just going to be filled with some kind of like militarized police force to protect the fucking compound.
Yeah, like the fucking private security firms make a fucking fortune on these
here you go,
disgusting glass towers that just like have popped up in Long Island City in the past couple of years, destroying 5 points and turning 5 points into like a fancy condo. Like disgusting. Disgusting. Yeah. It's shameful. And MoMA PS1 is complicit, like, in it as well. Like, it's shameful.
I like this part from the Ben Davis article. He says, the very least you could do is avoid actively making the situation worse. And it seems that New York has committed itself to something that is destined with machine-like Amazon efficiency to make the situation measurably more fraught, with the state offering untold hundreds of millions of dollars in giveaways to a company
whose $1.5 billion, I heard.
Fucking five What the hell? Even, what number is that? I don't even, I'm like a bird. I'm sorry. I can only count to four because that's all I need.
Somebody was like, that's one stop on the W train.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, to the world's richest man. I just think... I just don't know.
It's so fucking gross.
Okay, and bringing it back into our local interests, focusing on the plight of artists specifically is always dicey. Quote-unquote artists tend to occupy a mercurial demographic layer in between new economy professionals and those working class communities and communities of color with deeper roots. The culture hit hardest seems likely to be Queens' famously diverse melting pot rooted in first and second generation immigrants. And this was something that people talked about, like, after the Google campus moved in, or, like, wanted to move into Kreuzberg.
Yeah.
People were saying, like, oh, well, the reason why they actually decided not to is because, like, the community in Kreuzberg was very diverse. And so, like, they couldn't really stand to disrupt that, and they couldn't really find a way to, like, effectively integrate these communities.
So,
and it's
stupid.
Like, no, dude, diversity has nothing to do with it. I don't.
Yeah, there's, like, a bird brain take about, like, Amazon actually hires immigrants.
Right.
So,
oh,
therefore, and it's not even true. Like, okay, here's some tweets about it from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
AOC.
Amazon is a billion-dollar company. The idea that it will receive hundreds of millions of dollars in tax breaks at a time when our subway is crumbling and our communities need more investment, not less, is extremely concerning to residents here. When we talk about bringing jobs to the community, we need to dig deep. Has the company promised to hire in the existing community? What's the quality of the jobs and how many are promised? Are these jobs low wage or high wage? Are there benefits? Can people collectively bargain? Displacement is not a community development. Investing in luxury condos is not the same thing as investing in people and families. Shuffling working class people out of a community does not improve their quality of life.
Yeah. Derp.
Yeah. So that's like our one representative who's like kind of one Queens representative who at least we like have in our corner in the fucking house. But it's like,
he is looking at you, kid.
We have that one small dot in within electoral politics to maybe look out for us on this fucking mountain of bullshit.
Yeah, but honestly, it just needs to come from us because
yeah, I think so too.
Representatives have agreed amongst themselves to allow this to happen, and it's just
yeah,
like,
De Blasio, his streetcar stuff, his real estate tax breaks. He's been paving the way for this. It's not just Cuomo; they're all fucking rubes and idiots.
They're geniuses. They're gonna cash the fuck out.
I know. They're just like,
they're doing great.
I don't even know what insults to throw at them anymore.
I wish there was something. I love feckless.
Feckless.
Though. Feckless.
Fucking vampires. Like
goblins.
Goblins
with flesh rot.
God.
Fucking human faces sewn onto sacks of shit.
Yeah, I mean, Ben Davis brings up, of course, like, you know, this the Create NYC stuff. In the face of what called an urgent problem, the plan has failed to even suggest any urgent solutions.
Yeah.
So the problem is, like, none of these, like...
Yeah, that's the Creative NYC thing. They're like, oh, maybe we'll just make a list of affordable housing opportunities. Like, oh, great.
Oh, right.
So you're suggesting Janelle's list?
Fuck.
Is that, I'm sorry, like what? Stephanie Diamond's list? You're going to make
list?
It like, yeah, like, sorry, what do you think? We don't have lists of places to go.
And he of course brings up a few years ago when 89 units of subsidized live workspace became available in El Barrio's art space PS109, more than 53,000 artists applied.
Yeah.
The affordable units are not are one thing, not actually affordable. We know that. I've heard this from folks all around the country that they're trying this bullshit like we're doing artist housing and it's not actually affordable to the wages that artists are making. Nobody is making housing for people who earn less than $30,000 a year, which is everybody I fucking know.
Yeah.
Well,
it's just kind of, it's like, we haven't even gotten to understand, like, how to dignify people's experiences of like, constantly laboring, let alone just being like, oh, now, we can't agree that, like, we are low income somehow. It's like, no, artists, they're making tons of money and everything's right, really
even
fine.
Ben Davis is like, they have a relationship to the middle class, but right. Like, I get that. I get why people have that analysis.
Yeah. Like, we're still trying to figure out how to define what this, like,
yeah,
economic reality is.
And I think most of when we think about, like, a professional artist, they are working class or professional class. But, like, the majority of people who, like, do art and cultural work, I think their lifestyles are much more consistent to working class lifestyles and precarities.
Oh, yeah. And, well, like, more and more. Yeah. And we're just playing off of, like, these old conceptions of a romanticized version of our reality that, like, as soon as we can come to understand that nobody or, like, less and less people are experiencing any sort of security, then, like, sooner that we can actually start to build some solidarity and, like, right. I think we might be getting over the infighting of, like, lower to middle class people, like, just trying to kill each other constantly. Maybe we're over it. I hope so, because we're going to need each other to fight this.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, there's always going to be, like, brutal, bloodthirsty middle management people who will behead you in front of the boss to get a raise. But
to get a cookie.
Good job. You're so good. Yeah. But
I call you my blood sport.
Oh, my God. Wanted to also read from Queens Neighborhoods United.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I was so happy that they put this out. Like,
yeah, they've been on it. I mean, them and Make the Road and these grassroots orgs that have been doing this work much longer than what you guys know as the DSA now. Were these grassroots anti-gentrification orgs putting pressure on all politicians just capitalists and, like, scumbags.
Everyone.
Like, these
and
groups.
And putting pressure on the population to get involved and to become informed.
Yeah. Yeah. You know.
Should we just read this whole thing?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
To make it very clear, Queens Neighborhood United is entirely against Amazon. We will not negotiate our survival, and we'll do everything in our power to shut them down. Our line is clear, our fast and unflinching. We will make it impossible for them. We will target the politicians, the individuals, the institutions, the organizations, and whoever else had the power to stop this deal.
Yeah. In a city with such wealth, we still have over 65,000 families homeless. NYCHA.
NYCHA.
NYCHA?
That's the public housing.
What is, oh, housing. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's $16 billion in debt. Its residents and many of our neighbors are living in mold-infested, hazardous buildings, experiencing eviction, landlord terrorism, and crumbling infrastructure. We are told by city officials that this is because there are not enough tax revenues to repair these social dilemmas.
How did the city suddenly come up with a plan to give such significant tax breaks and incentives to a corporation led by the richest man in the world? Jeff Bezos makes over $3,000 every second, according to Time.com.
Oh,
they say Amazon will create good jobs, but Amazon has a track record of relying heavily on short-term, contract-based jobs without long-term security or benefits. Amazon uses mafia tactics to bully smaller, thriving businesses, forcing them to submit and sell their ownership status to Amazon. See what happens to Diapers.com as an example.
And everything that was going on in Berlin, like, they're just coming around like, hey, we're gonna help you with your internet presence.
Right.
It's what, like, was insane.
You know, to counteract this, somebody sent me, there was, like, a South Korean book publisher that boycotted and was striking against Amazon and won.
Oh, I think nice.
I forget what they were called. I'll look it up.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can read the next part.
Oh, God. This is so weird. Okay. Amazon is notorious for abusing workers who must work intensive hours to the point where they are forced to pee in bottles to keep up with delivery orders. Jeff Bezos announced a wage increase to $15 an hour, but simultaneously stripped workers access to stock options and bonuses, leaving workers worse off. Amazon spent millions of dollars to lobby and buy out politicians and nonprofits in Seattle to overturn a tax which would have created an affordable housing fund for homeless evicted residents that is desperately needed in that city.
Yes, similarly in California, there was a bunch of money lobbied against the ballot measure that would have increased rent control for the entire state, and that unfortunately did not pass, which is like such fucking bullshit.
I'm just going to say one thing about their choice to say, talk about peeing in bottles. It reminded me of that scene in Sorry to Bother You when they're like, oh, okay, let's have the soapbox scene where it's like, and another thing, we're getting STDs. Like, wait, what? I'm sorry, what? Like, I'm with you. What about talking about the way that people die on the job?
It's
or
true.
They fall asleep because they're just passing out with exhaustion or something. You know, I don't know. Like, there's so many things that this company is doing to...
It's true, but there are so many... The patent that they did to keep people in cages.
Oh, God.
Patent that they did for the wristwatch that tracks their hand movements.
Yeah.
Bad
news.
Jeff Bezos eating an iguana. These are all like good images.
Yeah. Yeah. Sci-fi episode.
It's just real life. I don't know where we went.
Most recently, Amazon has colluded with ICE and police departments across the country to create a bug-ridden, radically biased facial racially biased facial recognition software system that puts our communities in danger. Amazon holds the largest share of governmental contracts to maintain databases about detainees and undocumented people.
We have to remember that these politicians and these corporate behemoths are afraid of people coming together to fight for community self-determination. They will say Amazon is too powerful to take on and that we should make concessions. But as we look back to our beloved NYC history, to those who conceded never make history, New Yorkers did not concede to Robert Moses and his corporate gang to bulldoze NYC communities to build a mega expressway for wealthy suburbanites. 100,000 New Yorkers did not concede to corporations when they successfully fought and protested to establish an 8-hour workday in the 1800s. NYC has always been the city that belonged to the tenants and the workers. We should not look to these crooked politicians because they will wear the resistance band for street credit while behind closed doors negotiate our survival with corporations.
Yeah. Instead, we are the change we have been waiting for. This is not just a Queens problem. This is a fight for our city, and we need everyone fighting alongside us, disturbing the peace every step of the way, in any way possible. So this is a call to individuals and community groups and anyone that's interested in fighting against this ain't shit company. Share this and join us. Pray for the dead, fight like hell for the living. Amazon, it's on.
It's really good.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's like just... But, you know, when we win and Amazon decides not to move in here, I'm going to have a party.
Yeah, same, bro.
Yeah, you know, just like look forward to the bright side. Once we win, we can have a party. Oh my God.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, we gotta win. I mean, there's no other option. Really, winning is the only option. Like, fighting is the only option.
Yeah.
It might give a lot of people anxiety to have to fight, but it's like, there's no other option. Yeah, to fight. Sorry.
Consider the alternatives. We might end up like San Francisco.
Do you guys really want to end up like fucking San Francisco? Like,
come on, think about it. Really, you can't look your family in the eye if we end up like San Francisco.
They want the entire city to just look like what they've like been doing to Long Island City for the past couple of years. They just want the whole thing just to be these monstrous glass towers. Just like,
I'm so tired of the hegemony of glass.
Fuck the glass, man. We gotta get bricks on these glass.
Mm-hmm.
Get some bricks on this glass.
Old school construction materials.
Throw a brick in the windows of these developments.
Yeah.
Is what I'm trying to say.
We gotcha. I think we gotcha. Listen, in a roundabout way, all we're trying to ask people to do is throw more things. That's all. Just throw things at anyone, at any point. Just freak
key
out.
Car.
Key car.
Fuck these people. Fuck these people. Like, yeah. It would be no inconvenience on their life at all to key their car. They are so wealthy.
Well,
they are
just,
so unapproachable.
Just watch out, because you heard, people get upset when, the boat, Betsy DeVos's boat.
Oh, my God. Did you hear about J.K. Rowling's assistant?
Oh, no. What happened?
J.K. Rowling, billionaire, one of the wealthiest women in the whole planet.
Richest mom.
Like, suing her old assistant for buying, like, $1,000 in candles. Like,
are you serious?
Yeah.
Wait, like, why not? So it's like, just give me those candles back.
I don't fucking know. It's like, she's like,
that's out of control.
It sounded like she took her boss's credit card for a couple rides, and it's like, who fucking cares? This is chump change to these people.
Oh.
It'd be like me or you going after somebody for stealing $5 from us.
Yeah. You need that $5.
That's
you
psychotic.
Need those candles. I don't know. I mean,
liberals have lost the plot, and we can't be giving them the time of day no more. I'm really sick of it.
I just got a little bit of vertigo. I'm just kind of experiencing like a weird cultural vertigo that I'm trying to like get a handle on what reality is. And I know that we're not supposed to think that way anymore. We can't think in a fact-based reality kind of universe where, like, you know, gravity keeps you on the ground. Now it's all like, hey, do you know what kind of Mad Libs I saw in the news?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I like threw that at you.
No, it's like, fine. It just kind of, I'm just at a like high saturation at this point where I hit it like the last week or so, because I moved and everything, and I did all this like real tangible life stuff. And then the week after, I was like, I can't really look at stuff for a little while because I'm like, what? This isn't real. Nothing is real. Hold on. I'm alive again. You know when you have those mornings where you wake up and you're like, oh shit, I'm still alive. Because this is all out of my control. Even like waking up in the morning is just beyond me.
Whoops.
Yeah. And then it's like, hey, did you know also that the world keeps like folding in on itself?
Every psychic terror has been thrown at us lately, I feel like. I've just been having such a hard time dealing with, basic things just keep piling up. Like, you know, people struggling, people in psych wards, people dying. Like, people our age just massive suffering and dying.
People are losing their jobs. People are losing their wives.
Like,
people are losing everything. And we were promised so much, and now we're being blamed for everything over and over again. It's great.
Oh my god. All right, well, see you guys next week.
Yeah. Oh, I got a little upshot. In spirit of the beginning of our episode on sci-fi, I found this adorable idea on Facebook. It's called Ultra Leftist to Abolish Time.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, because...
That sounds way better than the shitty-ass Eflux thing I went to about communism. It was, like, a bunch of, like, wealthy property owners and, like, people flown in from Europe to talk about fucking Marxism and speculative fiction.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
It drove me fucking up the wall.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, like, anything that touts itself as, like, a self-help group for communists is like, dude, like, we don't have a problem finding each other. Like, that's the nature of communism is that we're always, like, kind of hanging out and meeting.
Well, I was so morbidly curious about it because, when I got there, I was like, oh, wait, if they're Communists Anonymous, does that mean it's a support group to try to not be communists anymore? What's the motive here? What's
they're
happening?
Just being cute and funny, and it's annoying. Like, because, you know, there are actually groups of communists who meet and, like, try to do stuff. Like, I just want to meet and, like, identify, you know?
Like, it was so bizarre. I wrote down some quotes from it that I forgot to bring my notebook, but, there was stuff that, like, you know, I was just on the beach thinking about... And then I realized, like, there's, like, all these weird little, like, snippets. When I walked in the room, I was like, oh, everybody looks like they're a fucking professor at the fucking new school. And then, like, somebody...
And some of them are.
But then somebody literally said in the circle, like, my office at the new school.
Yes. Queen.
Like, whoa.
Run these hoes. Run these hoes.
And then, like, these people talking about this, like, revolutionary army of love or something. And it's just like, wait... It's a bunch of straight people inventing gay and queer communes like that have existed forever. Like, I'm sorry, what's going on here? I just lost the plot several times.
Yeah. They don't know. That's the whole thing. It's like, what if we could wax poetic about something that we can't get a handle on, and that way we can buffer ourselves from the vertigo that I'm describing.
They're just reinventing the wheel 20 times. That was the thing. Every person who presented their part of the thing, it was like, oh, that's already a thing. Like, somebody was like, oh, I was thinking about Marxism for, like, the unemployed. And it's like...
Wow.
That exists.
Really?
That, like, there's a chapter of American communists that, like, were part of, like, an unemployed caucus, like, for years.
Yeah.
Like, what's happening?
They don't know. They don't know what's happening.
That's what proletariat means.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, I guess maybe to give them some benefit of the doubt, they could be, like, just a strict, like, reader of Capital or something, and then Marx talks about the way that, like, the unemployed don't, like, have the ability for, like, bargaining rights, and you have to, you know, like, and it'll become a part of a factory so that you can take it over and
but it's like people,
I guess,
yeah, it is.
I don't,
like,
know.
It,
like,
no,
maybe
it is.
There is something that they're trying to get at, but they don't understand.
But they don't understand
that
people
a
have been.
Yeah.
People have been addressing, like holes in Capital forever. Like, and why are we reinventing the wheel?
Right. Well, I think that
times.
If we were going to talk about, like, going down that thread, like, reinventing the wheel, I had that meeting with the cool organizer who is helping to, like, unionize hotel workers. The nature of our conversation was just like, well, what can we do for a creative class to, like, have more of a safety net, and saying that most of us are freelance workers. So if you want to talk about, like new developments in our economy based on, like, the working mechanisms that have, like, pushed us back into a sort of like regressive state in a job market where, you know, I feel like at the time Marx was writing, there was a ton of freelance, quote unquote, labor, but nobody had a term for that. And so everyone was trying to figure out how to, like, get some sort of, like, some kind of pay whatsoever out of their exploitative experiences. But, like, now we're seeing a lot of growth in the freelance sector.
Yeah.
And this is because, like, you know, you don't want to make it hard for small businesses to just hire a little bit of help here and there to get them on their feet.
There's also a dodge for Obama-era regulations about the work week and, like, providing basic benefits if you're going to employ someone for this amount of time. Then they're just like, well, fuck it. Everybody's contracted now and cutting everyone's hours.
So, you know...
Yeah.
Regardless of, like, whatever people want to identify as, or, like, how we can talk about Marxism for, like, every special individual group, whatever. I don't know or care, and you can all shut the fuck up. But, like, we were thinking maybe it would be a good idea to start attacking the freelance labor market by de-incentivizing employers from, like, hiring freelance, making it more expensive to hire freelance labor instead of making it cheaper and easier to hire freelance labor.
Yeah.
Like, just, I know that we're not going to overthrow capitalism tomorrow, but we could rally together and talk about ways that, like, you know, it doesn't have to be the smallest business. You know, if you're like, oh, I'm just a grandma and I'm making cookies and I hire one person to help me make cookies, it's like, okay, maybe we just start this thing at, like, if you've hired more than five freelancers, then you have to pay in to a fund that's like a special social security, so that people aren't just, like, paying all of their paycheck back when they get a 1099.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's reverse
brutal.
That.
It's brutal. When you have tax time and you're on a 1099, it's brutal.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you have to, you always have to consider, like, you're making 70 cents on a dollar.
Yep.
And it's just, it's like, why does that have to be, like, why does the onus have to be on the employee all the time? Like, you're supposed to have this, like, nice, flexible, wonderful freedom to have a family or something, whatever people say is, like, here's the benefits. So, like, you get to,
you have flexibility so that you
stress out
can,
at home.
So you can make your second and third jobs.
Yeah. You know. Oh, great. Thank you. Thank you. No, that's so cool. No, I love, like, being flexible enough to work until I'm dead.
Yeah.
And, like, have nothing to show for it at the end of the day. It's great. I love it. Anyway, like, yeah, I'm going to go hang out with all these kids at the new school and, like, write a poem about money or something. Fucking assholes.
Seriously.
I hate everyone.
yes, we are a radical art lefty publication. That's why we built a restaurant for fucking wealthy ass white people in Bed-Stuy. Like, scoundrels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Clever scoundrels. Oh my god.
Anyway, I found this thing called Worker's Spatula. It's a WordPress, and they have, like, jokey Marxist sci-fi short stories. And one of them is about people who try to abolish time because it's actually, like, the root of all of exploitation. And I'm really sad that they don't go far enough, because they just sort of, like, leave the story off at, like, oh, and then everybody realized that time was the enemy and they started, like, spray painting shit. The end. And, like, no, man, how are we actually going to abolish time? Because it's ruining all of our lives. I think it's brilliant. Everyone, write in to artandlaborpodcasts@gmail.com and discuss with us how you will abolish time, the root of all evil.
Yes. Yeah. Fuck. Okay.
I'm serious, though, if anybody wants to write about this.
Yeah, like, write in. We we've gotten We've gotten some really great emails, and we read all of them, and we respond to them as well. But we should, like, probably do a episode of, like, reader mail or call-ins. Like, I've always wanted to do that, but, like, I keep, like, not organizing it.
Oh, yeah. Call in more. Write in more. We want to hang out and talk and read your stuff.
Yeah, and we'll get our bonus materials in order a bit better. I don't know what the fuck
sorry.
We're doing. I don't, like...
Listen, we're also just trying to survive, and all of your donations on Drip help us to get into the studio. And we're gonna send you guys stuff, too.
Yeah, I think most people have gotten their items, but they need more items. They need more items every month.
We're going to make a new shirt also that says, listen to the only podcast, and then it's going to say art and labor.
We had we keep having ideas and forgetting them. We need a more universal t-shirt.
It's just going to say, listen to the only podcast. How about, that's so universal. That's beautiful. There's only one.
I love what Artie said. Artie said, we're the only art podcast that doesn't sound like it's...
run by a hedge fund manager. Yeah, thanks, dude. It's true. It's run by, a couple of queerdos.
A couple of fucking idiots who are barely surviving. Not employable, oh my God.
Wells.
I'm trying. I'm living on savings. It's fine.
I have a job. I have a job. I'm doing really good. Nobody freak out.
I'm trying.
Yeah.
Everybody, let's have fun.
Let's have fun.
See you next year.
I care if you have an airplane that can fly the world and we can have a fantasy. It doesn't really matter if you drive a limousine. It really doesn't matter if you drive for galaxy. I really don't care if you just drive a truck. I don't care if you just drive a limousine. It doesn't really matter if you drive a Ferrari. I really don't care cause I just love your company. Let's have fun. 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 Let's have fun, lots of fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Lots of fun.